The title of our message this morning is The Bottom Line. Today in our message, we're going to be dealing with some very basic truths of the Christian faith, truths that of which we need to be reminded again and again. The scripture our sermon is based upon is our epistle lesson for today, finding our theme in two very curious verses from St. Paul. Listen to the pleading in St. Paul's voice, and what he's talking about will become more clear as we get into our sermon. St. Paul says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I encourage you to turn inside your bulletin and find there the green insert as we consider our theme, The Bottom Line. There is a very old legend entitled The Lady and the Tiger. And the legend tells of a man in a large athletic arena, in a big Colosseum during the time of the Romans. The crowds were filled with people on bleachers watching the action. The man was by himself on the arena floor. And at the end of the arena were two doors. Behind door number one was a beautiful woman, thus the title, The Lady. With the woman behind the door were riches untold, rubies, gold and silver, jewels, diamonds. If he chose that door and walked through that door, he would have a celebration of life and wealth and prosperity. But if he chose door number two, behind it was a man-eating tiger that had been starved and ready for this occasion. The people all gathered to watch, which door would he go through? Which door would he pick? Which door would he open up? If he picked door number one, it would be life. If he picked door number two, it would be death, a horrible death. Martin Luther once said, when you boil it all down, when you get to the bottom line, there are only two religions in the entire world. The religions of faith or the religion of good works. It all depends which door a person walks through. If you walk through one door, it's life. If you walk through the other door, it's death forever. Today, we're going to look at our sermon and walk through and look at these two religions and see where the doors lead us. So first point in your outline, we want to talk about the righteousness of man, that is, good works. What is our world today, what is the world forever, considered or counted as righteous? Well, one example would be fighting for a good cause. Another example would be showing care for other people. This is what we call being a good person theology or philosophy. And it's the opinion of probably 90% of the so-called man on the street. If you were to ask a person even today, how do you hope to get to heaven? They would say, by doing good deeds, by this good person theology. That's what the scriptures, that's what our philosophers and theologians have called natural religion or popular religion, but it's not biblical religion. This kind of worldview leads to false beliefs, and here's just a couple of them. The first false belief this leads to is this: we deserve special treatment from God. The thinking goes like this: if I do good, then I deserve rewards. And this kind of false thinking has even sprung up in the modern church. It even has a theological movement, a name attached to it. It's called faith theology. If you have enough faith, you can name it and claim it, and it'll be yours. And if you don't have blessings in your life, you see, it's because you don't have enough faith. Now, I ran face forward into this in the Seattle congregation I served in the mid-80s to early 90s. Some in a Bible class have heard this story. I'll relate it just briefly again. Here's where this false teaching leads. A young man came on a Wednesday night when I was teaching a big adult instruction class of about 40 people. He sat in the back row with his head down on the table during the whole Bible class. When the class was over, he asked if he could speak with me. We went to my office, and for 3 hours we talked about these things, even though I didn't give it a title called Faith Theology. But here's what he came to share. In 1 month's time, his wife left him. His infant daughter was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor, and he lost his farm to foreclosure to the bank, all in 1 month. And then he went to his faith theology church, if you could call it that, and here's what they told him. If you would have had enough faith, you wouldn't have lost your wife, you wouldn't be losing your daughter, and you wouldn't have lost the farm. It's all because you didn't have enough faith. Faith theology teaches if you do good, you deserve good things. But how many times have you experienced in your life? Sometimes bad things just happen, even to people of faith. What is Romans 3:23? It says this, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous, no, not one. That is to say, none of us deserve special treatment. Now, a related false belief is this one. We get right with God by our good deeds. But then what about Matthew 5:48 that says, quoting Jesus, you must therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is to say, if you want to get right with Almighty God on the basis of your good deeds, then your test score must be 100%. But we all fall short. And certainly we can't overlook Isaiah 64, verse 6, which reads, all of our righteousness is like just a bunch of filthy rags. The Bible pulls no punches. Good works do not deserve, do not earn God's favor. And in today's epistle reading for today, and here we finally get to it, this caused St. Paul great anguish for his brothers and sisters who were Israelites. Listen again to the text. Paul says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Why? Why was Paul in anguish? Because his brethren had chosen the door of good works. They were trying to get right with God on the basis of their obedience. They would not trust in Christ's sacrifice for them, only in their own good deeds. Unless we think this is a history lesson, this sounds like so many people in our world today. They sound like my neighbors. It sounds like your neighbors. It sounds like so many of my family and maybe yours. This world's false view leads to a precarious sense of security. That is to say, if good works are the way, then here are some big questions. They're listed before you. If good works are the way, how can you ever be sure you've ever done enough good works? If good works are the way, how can you be sure that your good deeds are the right ones? If good deeds are the way, we literally end up on a dead-end street. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death. The way that seems right unto so many people is the way of good works, but the scripture says the end of that way is death. Now remember the lady in the tiger legend? Door number one, the door of good works, is the tiger. But now let's look at door number two. I feel like that old TV show. You want door number one or door number two? Well, we're at door number two now, the righteousness of God. The scripture makes it clear the righteousness of God is faith. God gave his promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. Listen to it, Genesis 12, verse 2. God says to Abram, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Almighty God promised 100-year-old Abram that he would be a father, that he would have many descendants, that from him would come the nation of Israel, that from him would come the Messiah, the Christ. And God created faith in Abraham's heart to believe that promise. Listen to Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6. God took Abram outside and said, "Look to the heavens and count the stars if you can." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And Abraham believed the Lord, and listen to the next phrase, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. God's word of promise came to Abram. Abraham looked to the stars of the heaven as God directed him to do, and God created faith in Abraham's heart, and Abraham trusted God to keep his promise. On the basis of faith's object, listen carefully. On the basis of faith's object, Abram is counted righteous. Listen to verse 6 of Genesis 15. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. That is, it wasn't Abram's faith. It was what Abram's faith was in that was the key. Abraham's faith was not in his own good works. Abraham's faith was not in his own strength of character. Abraham's faith was not in his own unwavering trust. Abraham's faith, which is the same faith God is calling you today, Abraham's faith was simply a humble dependence on God's word of promise. And trusting God, Abraham is credited by God to be righteous. That is, to be right with him. Righteousness is God's act, not man's. It is given apart from works righteousness, apart from good deeds. Listen to Romans chapter 4, 1-3. This is Paul's commentary on the story of Abraham. Listen carefully. Paul writes, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by good works, if he had something to boast about, it wasn't before God. But what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Righteousness is based on God's gift, humbly received by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 puts it this way, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. It's a gift of God, not from your good works, lest anyone should boast." Abraham believed that God would provide him with a son. Now listen to Paul's extended commentary about this from Romans 4. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as has been promised to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, she was over 90. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it is written, 'It was credited to him as righteousness.'" And what's even further amazing, that some 2,000 years before Christ, Abram also believed that through his seed, God would send the Son, the Messiah. Listen to Jesus' words in John 8. These are astounding words. Jesus said to the Jews of his day, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it, and he was glad." The big question of our sermon today is this. It's point number 3 in your outline. Here's what it all gets down to. Here is the bottom line. Here's the question. How can you be righteous today? How can you, as Abraham, be right with God? Just like Abraham, by humble, trusting faith. Listen to verse 6 of Genesis 15 again. Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. Humble faith in God's promises makes you right with God. And what is the thing that God wants you to trust today? What is your faith's object today? It's simply this: that God so loved you that He did not want you to perish forever. That God so loved you, He didn't want you to die in your sins. That God so loved you, He didn't want you busy about your whole life trying to work hard and do good deeds and buy Him off and wonder if you've ever done enough good deeds to earn heaven. For God so loved you and the whole world that what did He do? You know the rest of the story. You know that God sent Jesus. And Jesus lived a perfect life on this world. He healed, He loved, He forgave. And Jesus went to a cross to bear your sins and to bear mine. He let sinful men nail Him there for you innocently and for me. On the cross, He paid fully for the sins, for the failings of the whole world, for yours. But He didn't just die. On the third day, the Father rose Him again, that He would have victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the devil. And why did He do it? Are you listening? Why did He do it? He did it for you. If you had been the only sinner on this world, Jesus would have given His life for you. And He did. And He became alive again. The promise has been kept. Listen to what St. Paul says in Romans 4. Regarding Abraham's trusting faith, and that God said, your faith in me makes you righteous. Listen to what St. Paul says. He's saying, this is not just a history lesson. Listen to what he says. The words, it was credited to him as righteousness, were written not for him alone, but were also written for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe that He raised Jesus from the dead, He was delivered to death for our sins and raised for our justification. We end our sermon by reminding ourselves our righteousness and salvation does not depend upon the strength of our faith, the strength of our grip on Him, but His grip on us. When I was quite a little boy on our dairy farm in Green Acres, Washington, outside of Spokane, in fact, just in about a month, Beverly and I will be making our annual summer pilgrimage to Spokane to see my family. And usually our trip in our car takes us to Ron's Hamburger Drive-In, where our family basically grew up. And then down the road about another 5 or 8 miles is the site of our old dairy farm. Now it's all housing development. But back in the early 60s, when I was in my formative years, I would go for many a walk with my papa through the pastures around the farm. Papa was quite larger, with a large, halloused, big old farmer's hand, and I tried to hold his hand as we walked through the yard. But his hand was so big, all I could do was get my hand around his little pinky. And we tried to walk with my hand around his little finger. But I'd slip in a fresh cow pie, and if you've been there, you know about those things. Or I'd trip on a hard hoof print in the hardened mud or sand, and I'd go down. Then I'd brush myself up and run back to my dad and try to hold on to his little finger, but I'd slip again and fall. And after doing this quite a few times, one day in our walk, my father turned to me and said, you know, I think if you'd let me hold your hand, you wouldn't have this problem anymore. Now, my father holding on to my hand, I slipped, but I never really fell again. Being right with God, being righteous, does not depend on your good deeds, does not depend on your strong faith, does not depend on your grip on God the Father's hand. It's all about His promise in Jesus. It's all about His grip on us. It's all about His eternal grip on you and me through the nail-pierced hands of Christ our Lord. It all depends on who's holding your hand. Like Abraham, we are made righteous by God's grace through our humble, trusting faith. My friends, this is the bottom line now and to life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen.